Shop, 100% carbon offset power you can be proud of.
Now, this show, particularly one member of the team, has been obsessed by Megxit. That was Prince Harry and Meghan Markle deserting the royal family, heading off to Canada. The ripple effect of that continues. And we've been trying to get go to the source, particularly of the Markle family. Now, that is Samantha Markle. And she is joining us now all the way from...
Yeah, she's on the line. She's actually on hold right now, guys. Obviously, the sister to Meghan Markle, and she should be there right now.
Samantha, it's Fifi, Fev and Byron here. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, hello.
So many questions to ask you because, like many people, we've watched this all unfold. It's a global news story. And I wanted to get your opinion, Samantha, on the most recent event, and that was Harry and Meghan attending the big billionaire JP Morgan event in Florida, clearly a paid event that they did sort of under the radar. How do you feel about that being one of the first things they do now that they're private citizens?
Well, you know, honestly, it seemed somewhat inappropriate on the grounds that they're not really financial moguls. And, you know, I understand they have corporate goals and, you know, they want to do a so-called global empire. But, you know, the JP Morgan huge money plan speech seemed inappropriate, placed so closely with the damage that's been done in Great Britain. And if they want to go around and make money, that's fine. Everyone has a right to do that. But it's sort of like you don't leave bodies in your wake as a boat is sinking and, you know, just trickle over into the sunset and say, oh, well, that was fun, but we're going to go, you know, be corporate moguls and ignore all of the damage. It was just kind of weird for me, my opinion.
I agree. Well, it's interesting, Samantha, because Wills and Kate have announced over the last few days that they're coming to Australia, and we've got obviously a terrible, tragic circumstances over summer where a lot of people were affected by bushfires here, and they're going to come and visit the communities. And it does seem like a distinct contrast, doesn't it? So Wills and Kate are coming to visit bushfire-affected families, and yet Meghan and Harry have gone to make money at a big financial institution.
Well, exactly. It felt somewhat like the documentary on Africa felt to me, to, you know, juxtapose extreme suffering and then take an opportunity to spotlight one's own comforts or alleged lack thereof, and to, you know, be, you know, global dynamos rather than posit themselves on charity, which was, you know, the forerunner of all of this. And I think certainly Great Britain hoped that they would do that. But now amidst the fires in Australia, I mean, to ignore that and to go be self-serving seems incredibly inhumane. And that's, you know, that's my opinion. There's so much going on in the world in terms of suffering everywhere. To glorify themselves so much is really, I think, shocking.
Now, Samantha, we'll throw it back to your world. When was the last time you spoke to Meghan? And is she in any contact with anyone in her family?
No, and it's not just the Markle family. It's the Raglans also. It's the uncle who helped her with the internship in Buenos Aires. It's my dad who has given her everything almost as a sole parent. It's me. She's got a sister in a wheelchair, and that's not so much the big deal. But when you have a family and all of the, you know, public controversy as to what's been going on and the treatment of the royals, it just seems like, you know, phone calls that could have been made that could have nipped this in the bud or been, you know, an effort towards peaceful resolution have not been made. They've been blatantly ignored. And, you know, I don't care how busy someone is, it takes 2 seconds to make a phone call. To answer your question, no, I haven't been estranged for so many years, as the public said. The last time I spoke with her was 2016, going on around the holidays. We had a conversation about my dad. So, you know, tabloid said, oh, she hasn't spoken with her sister in 10 years. Well, that's not, you know, not true. And she hasn't seen her sister since she was small. Also not true. You know, the public really doesn't know. And I think clearly the burden is on her as the better person or the quote humanitarian to demonstrate, you know, walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Now,
and with my dad having 2 heart attacks, it's just, it's incredibly cruel. And there's no other way to slice this apple. It's just ridiculous.
Now, Samantha, you mentioned we know that she's obviously estranged from a lot of the Markle family, but she is estranged, as you said, to members of her mother's side of the family. And that's what I wanted to just ask you. There have been recent stories inferring from insiders, but nobody's actually said anything, that she may not be as close to her mum, Doria, as we all see that. We saw that she was the only family member at the wedding. But what's your insight into her relationship? Is she close to her mum? And what was it like even while she was growing up? Because is it right that she lived with her dad for a period and not with her mum?
Yeah, our dad pretty much raised her as a single parent. And, you know, when she was born, brought home from the hospital to our house, her mom moved in with us when I was 14. But Doria was not around very much. So all of this public, you know, spotlighting of, oh, the matriarchy thing, I felt like that was a strategic way of either impressing Her Royal Majesty and doing the women's empowerment thing, which seems somewhat false because, you know, if you want women to have a voice and you think the voices should be heard, hey, well, yeah, you've got your mom, but you've got your sister in a wheelchair, and you've got so many people who have female voices that are being suppressed unless they absolutely enable, you know, whatever she was doing. It's like it all seemed very fake. And then I think I was most shocked. You know, I could excuse it about our family and be sort of tough about it, but when I saw her doing the same thing and being, you know, what I consider disrespectful to the royal, to Royal Majesty, I thought, oh, God, where does it stop?
So do you believe Doria is spending time with them in Canada with her grandson? Because it seems like she's in California and not really with the family anyway.
Well, perhaps. I think everything is speculative. As we all know, it's hard to decipher from propaganda. Mm. But clearly, had they been spending time together, I'm assuming, you know, how paparazzi are. There would be photos of them everywhere. And so that being said, I do get a sense that, no, she's not there. And, you know, the I think discontentment with their behavior might have extended itself to Doria, and that I'm not even sure that Doria would approve of what has gone on. And there have likely been disagreements. So this is, you know, this is behavior, and these are choices that they seem to carry with them. And I would hope at one point they would say, hey, what we've been doing is not cool. It's not right. And let's do the right thing. Let's change. My God, like, how much damage can you do before it's obvious?
Meghan Markle's sister, Samantha Markle, is on the line with us here at The Fox. No questions are off limits, and there is more coming up.
101.9 The Fox.
Mexit's been a big story, obviously. Fief's been all over Mexit all year, actually. Meghan and Harry pulling back from their royal duties. We have Meghan Markle's sister, Samantha, on the line from Florida this morning with Fifi, Fev and Byron for breakfast on The Fox.
Now, Meg's obviously got her dream. She married a prince. She became a princess. Didn't like that side of life, living as a princess. And now they've gone back to Canada. Do you think they will last? Do you think now living as civilians, Meghan and Harry will stay together as a sister's point of view?
I'm not sure. It's not for me to say, but I think the bigger picture is that they liked the royal life until the public started scrutinizing them for behavioral choices that they had made that caused some public dissent. And only at that point was it suddenly, oh, we're not really happy. We're not comfortable. Of course, when you're a child being put in the corner and you're being punished for what you've done wrong, you're not very happy. It's sort of like, no. You know, that, and then it became a blame game, and, you know, there was this public perception that they were somehow victims. No, they made choices that had consequences, and most likely they're not 12 years old. You know, she's almost 40, and he's not a child either. If they treat people like this there, now including our family, the Raglans, a whole cascade of other people, and now the British royal family, nobody in Hollywood is immune from that. It's like even Hollywood royalty. It's like the pattern is there. They did it to everyone else. People in Hollywood are not that special, that it's not going to be a consistent pattern.
Speaking of the pattern, which it does, we all see, even the wedding, there were all these apparent friends, George Clooney, Oprah Winfrey, Serena Williams. And you've known Meghan her whole life. Does she have close friends from school? Was this a pattern at school? Did she have close friends, or is she someone that doesn't really have close friends, or just she has friends for the time being?
Well, she had a very good best friend of 30 years who she has also, quote, ghosted. And the high school she went to now is feeling some strain on the grounds that there were sources say articles that said that the school was racist when, you know, on the contrary, Immaculate Heart High School was very eclectic and multiculturally diverse. beautiful. In fact, in all of the photographs of all the girls together at the school, there was often only one Caucasian girl. And so it was very well blended. Any suggestion of racism was ludicrous. And I think now, again, it goes back to the blame game. It's like, we're not happy with what's going on. So everybody's bad. Everybody's toxic. It's so stereotypically a form of denial and lack of accountability. It's an attribution error that is, I think, inappropriate at their age, if you want my opinion.
Yeah. Now, Sam, you go.
You know, I think the world has seen that. And, you know, we can only hope that with Archie in the mix, that they would role model values that are, you know, that promote social cohesion and harmony and conflict resolution, rather than isolating everybody and playing a blame game, as it has seemingly been.
Now, Sam, having not spoken to your sister since 2016, she's become a royal, and now you speak on your point of view about her and for her, I suppose, and telling the world, but you're cashing in as well. How do you feel about taking cash, speaking about your sister when you haven't spoke to her?
It's not really about that. And, you know, my father worked in television for 40 years. I had a career long before my sister even went to college. I worked in broadcasting. I did my own thing. So I've never felt a problem with accepting money for being publicly outspoken. It's what I've done. And certainly in a wheelchair, I have a right to do that. But the bottom line is, this isn't just about Meghan. We are individuals in this family. I have a right to speak about my life. My father has a right to speak about his. And for anyone to suddenly make it, oh, it's Meghan has a copyright on all things Markle family. No, I was the firstborn Markle under my dad. My father was the first before us. And guess what? If anyone has a right to speak about what's going on, we certainly do. And if we get paid, it's sort of like, you know, I said to someone on Entertainment Tonight, you think it's, quote, cashing in? Well, then go tell your boss that you're not accepting a paycheck for this time, because that's cashing in. All of media is about money. So are the Markles the only ones that are not allowed to get paid anything while the world is abuzz about this? That would seem somewhat cruel and not very logical. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Hey, Sam, just one more quick one. Have you ever been told by any royals to keep quiet about the princess and prince?
No, actually, at the beginning of all this, there was this sort of like, you know, Harry had made a comment to my dad, don't speak because they'll tear you apart. But I don't see that Meghan and Harry have been too worried about that. They've been, you know, doing the red carpet thing and being very outspoken. So apparently they're not that worried about the media tearing them apart. And we were told that someone would come and sort of brief us on handling the media. Nobody ever came. And at that point, we were defending ourselves against misperceptions. And it wasn't really about cashing in. It was like, hey, those tabloids and this media is saying this, we're going to set the record straight. And then it became, you know, really defending family integrity of the sources say stuff. Well, when sources say, it means there is no source. So, you know, it was really setting records straight. And I'm not one to lay down in front of train tracks and take being run over. And I don't think my father is either.
I sort of get that. I think that's true. I think you've been thrust into the spotlight and you certainly haven't taken it lying down, Samantha. So thank you so much for your time. And we wish you well. And hopefully we get to speak to you at some stage in the future again.
Thank you so much.
101.9 The Fox.
Terrible news yesterday. Very sad day for Australia, with Holden bowing out of the car market in Australia. Thank you, Barbara. No, this is really, and it's interesting.
We lost an icon, didn't we?
Because we have lost an icon, and there is the very serious aspect of this, where 600 Holden employees will lose their jobs. Now, they're turning up to work today with an indefinite future. They don't know how many weeks, days, months they'll be working for. So it absolutely affects these people in the front line. It affects their families. It's an industry here in Australia that we rely on, but also it's an icon, and it's iconic, and we've grown up with Holden. Mm-hmm. I mean, who could forget all the commercial ads that have been running since the start of television?
Football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars, huh?
Right.
Well, you sure sound like Australia to me.
And then there's the jingle. I mean, Fev loves the actual jingle.
The jingle's about. I listened to all this yesterday. It's so good.
We love football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars. Football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars.
And also, it's just the rivalry that I've sort of grown up with. And I know because this first car I bought from Maroondah Highway Ford there in near Eastland.
Ford?
Oh, yeah, it was a Ford. Right, I bought a Ford Festiva.
Right, yeah, okay, so this is
not
Holden.
Not to be confused with the Fiesta,
we're
by the way.
We're celebrating Holden.
I know, but you're right, that's a good point. But I brought it up because there was always the Ford-Holden rivalry.
There still is, or there still was.
Well, no, that's what I mean, Fev. Think about that.
Mate, think about that ad. Who had ever thought when that ad was made that you could have a kangaroo in a pie?
That's a very good point.
It's a delicious meat, the kangaroo. You can't cook it too much, though. It's got to be medium rare.
But there would
aren't
be
you a vegan?
Lots of families. You get Holden families. I mean, Bathurst will fall over.
Oh,
what are
God.
Those V8 supercar drivers going to do
gonna
without
What is going to happen
Holden?
With that? Do we know that?
No, I don't think anyone knows
because that's
yet.
That's big. That's
it is, isn't it?
For the rev heads.
Yeah, well, we don't have any motorsport experts in-house, but I believe that it's a Chevrolet these days, and it may well be rebadged to a Chevy, but that's just... I don't
know. Ford versus Chevy?
Don't know that for sure.
Now, we're here feeling it, but I imagine there are people in Melbourne right now who have a passion and a love for Holden. Maybe every car you've ever owned is a Holden.
I have one more question for you.
Oh, please.
What did... Just say I have a Holden right now, and, oh, God, someone rams up my bum.
Yeah.
Where do I get it fixed?
Parts from internationally sent
so I can't,
out here.
But do I take it when I need a service?
Go to your local mechanic. Can't take it to a Holden dealer. Mm. There'll be no Holden dealers.
Well, surely there's an official line for that. I don't think FIFA is the actual.
Well, she knows
that
everything.
Made sense.
I reckon she made a lot of sense.
I'd be getting parts flown in from overseas.
Yeah. Okay.
Get a Chevy part from Florida.
I reckon you made a lot of sense.
Thank
13,
you.
10, 60. They will still have customer service
for
the next...
to put people down today.
We've just been told, though, by an actual producer that knows the actual facts that they will still have customer service for the next...
I think Leon knows more than me.
For the next 10 years.
Now, as I was just saying, if you are a Holden lover, if you are from a Holden family, if this has really hit you where it hurts, 13, 10, 60... Call in. We're going to share our Holden memories.
I reckon there'd be people with Holden tats too.
Yeah, very good point. We'd love to hear from them as well.
Memories of Holden. Holden. Holden.
A lot of jingles flying around today.
Memories of very good. Holden. Holden.
Okay.
Holden.
Feb did have one Holden memory, but we can't broadcast it. 13 10 60 is the number. We will take your calls.
That Holden died a long time ago.
13 10 60, you call
that. 1019, The Fox.
Memories of Holden. Holden. Holden.
Holden is closing its doors. Really sad day for Australia because Holden is Aussie as meat pies and kangaroos, as the jingle said. Can we hear it again, Byron, from back in the day?
We love football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars. Football, meat pies, kangaroos and Holden cars.
So they played this on Channel 9 yesterday at the end of the news. It went for a couple of minutes and they... showed all the old school, like the guys in like the little singlets and little shorts, and everyone was running around kicking footies. It's like real old Australia. Like
it's
changed that country.
And there are Holden lovers out there who will be devastated by this. So we've asked you to share your Holden memories. Sue from Doreen. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Fifi. I'm sorry, I'm a Holden girl. We're a Holden family through and through. I still do have an old Tirana that I've got, and. Statesman, and I'm just absolutely shattered.
I bet you are, Sue. So you've got the Tirana and the Statesman now?
Yeah, I've still got them, yep.
Still got customer service for 10 years, which is a positive.
Yeah, I don't take them to Holden.
That might be part of the problem, Sue.
Well, you've got to find a good mechanic for
certainly they've always done a great job.
But I feel sorry for all the workers.
Yes, 600.
I know, Sue. That's a travesty for those families. And you, when these big organisations fold, you have to think about the people who suffer.
You would hope that some of those skills are definitely transferable to other manufacturers. There's a lot of innovation in Holden, so you would hope everything, you know, is bright for a bunch of those. But certainly Sue has shared her memory there.
Thank you, Sue. Now, Shirley in Mernda.
Shirls!
Hey, gorgeous. How you doing?
Shirls, what's up? Are you a Holden girl?
Yes, I'm a Holden girl through and through. I was driving down a main road and I had a Holden wagon and the gear shift broke.
Okay, again, they're normally
don't bother knocking if the Holden is rocking.
Well, it's also a reliability issue there as well.
What was going on, Shirls, down the main drag?
Well, I don't know. It just broke in my hand. I was looking at it. Why can we not?
Please. Let's not focus on the things that break in Holden.
So far we've had Sue that wouldn't dare take her car back to Holden. No. And then we've had Shirley with a gear stick break in her hand.
Maybe
the memories,
though.
The memories.
We've got Warren in Bendigo. Hey, Warren.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good. Warren, are you a Holden lover?
Yes, I sure am. Oh. Our family is.
Sad day. Tell us a little bit about your Holden memories, Warren.
It's more my mother's memory. Her dad actually knew Peter Brock, and when my grandfather passed away, he got ashes done, and Peter Brock actually, and Craig Glenn, when he was training Craig Glenn, spread my grandfather's ashes at Holden Park.
Wow. That's a beautiful memory, Warren.
So if you actually go into the chapel there, you'll see Peter Brock's plaque and my grandfather's plaque.
Oh, Warren. That's a beautiful memory.
I never got to meet my grandfather or Peter Brock, but yes, it's in the family, and we've even got it on video.
That's unbelievable. And that's the emotional attachment to Holden and to Brocky.
There's no out there.
Yeah, no, we'll just play a song.
I was going to say something.
Peter Brock was Holden?
Yes.
Oh, God,
wow.
Broxy.
You should be deported for not knowing that. Get out.
101.9 The Fox.
I reckon Luke from Maths would dedicate that Dua Lipa song to Poppy. Don't start caring about me now. You broke my heart. You shattered it. Look, tough one. Poppy and Luke, last night we saw on Married at First Sight, Poppy left. And for good reason.
Yeah.
She missed her kids. And, you know, maybe she thought she could do it and thought this is a great experiment. Maybe I'll find love. Fev, you were saying at least she was a person on the show that legitimately wanted love.
Well, I think she was probably the only one on that show that legitimately wanted love. She's not going to go out and do the nightclub appearances. She doesn't want to be Insta famous. She just wanted to go out there and just be happy.
Mm.
And then she's just gone, well, I'm not happy. I'm going home to my kids. Fair enough.
Now, it is absolutely fair enough, although the way she went about it, it's an interesting way.
I don't mind that either.
Oh, no.
Don't. Well, if you didn't watch the show and you're not watching it, she dumped Luke via producer. Now, we've heard about dumping via text and via phone call or via, I don't know, friend, but not many people have a producer knock on their door and deliver the news like this.
I have to tell you some news.
Okay.
So Poppy has decided to leave the experiment.
Yep.
So you guys will obviously both leave the experiment.
Give me a second.
Oh, Luke. Oh, that's so sad, Fev. He'd just gone
shopping. He was trying to, he bought her a nice dinner. He went to Woolworths.
He did. He went, I think it was Coles.
Okay, whichever
I think
one.
They're sponsored by Coles. Okay. And he brought like beautiful veggies and a steak, and she wasn't hungry because she missed her kids. So my theory is Boxy.
Yes.
And I think, I feel sorry for Luke because he's gone on there to find love. Mm. He's a really nice guy. He tried really hard to be nice to her, like really hard. I've watched it since the start, and she just gave him donuts. And it's not his fault, and it's not her fault, and she just wanted to go. Like she doesn't owe him anything. She's only for 2 weeks. I want to go to my kids.
Yeah, I know. This is, again, let's take it out of TV world. So in the real world,
You don't have a producer.
Well, you don't have a producer to do it. But no, she has taken the cop out. And I think we've all been there. The breakup, because when you decide to break up with someone, you're like out. You go, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, God, I've got to do that bit where they're probably going to cry and they're probably might want to encourage me to stay in a relationship.
One more day,
and,
yes.
Oh, what if we end up back together and I don't really want that? So we sometimes use other people or other means to dump someone. And we are going to open the phone lines, 13 10 60. Have you had someone break up for you?
Oh. Well, I had a manager back in the day. I've had a few managers, but this is my first ever manager. And we were in Hawaii. I think we might have been even on a honeymoon. I'm not quite sure. In Hawaii. And we were pretty pissed. Me and Schnooksy having some strawberry daiquiris.
Mm.
And we sacked him on via text.
Oh, you know what?
But I didn't like Schnooksy wrote the message out because I can't spell.
I love that you've taken this out of romance world because in my mind, because I was thinking about relationship breakups.
Like, this was like
no, but as when you started, I went, "Are we about to hear a breakup? We've never ever heard you. I mean, you've had one partner your whole life.
Yes,
where was that going? I, Fev, an ex-boyfriend I was dating. He lived in New York. And we were having sort of a long distance relationship, and I went and spent a few months over there to see if we could give it a real shot.
Big Apple.
And when I left, I admit I had that thing when I was leaving or at the airport and we were saying goodbye. I knew I wasn't going to be seeing him again.
Yeah. Was he at the airport with you?
Yeah, he was pretty full.
I wanted the story where he came to the airport. You were lining up, you saw each other and you just bailed.
No, no, not that. And he worked for a government agency, so he was sort of like connected. I didn't want to upset him. Yeah, so I was like, I'll just give you a kiss goodbye. Look, we'll stay in touch. You know, obviously I'll call you. He, for some reason, thought we were engaged, but I don't remember that bit. Like, he was introducing me to people as his fiancé, and I'm like, you missed the whole proposal bit. Anyway, I came home, and then I sort of was a bit hard to get hold of, and, you know, he'd message me and I'd forget to get back. And I'm just, in my mind, I was like, surely he's got the hint.
Right.
And then out of the blue, I get a call from Matt Preston of MasterChef fame. And Matt, who's a friend of mine who met him in New York, we went out to dinner with Matt in New York. And then my boyfriend or ex-boyfriend had rung Matt, and Matt had to break up with him for me.
Oh, wow.
Like Matt's rung me. He's gone, I've just spent like an hour and a half on the phone to him trying to explain to him
what
that maybe
he's
moved on. No, it was just, it was an intense, fiery, quick relationship.
Wow.
But having Matt Preston break up for you.
Sure.
That doesn't happen to
Let's
many people.
Let's not make the phoner quite that narrow. When has a reality TV judge helped you break up?
But when have you gotten someone to do the breakup for you? Whether it was your mum, your dad, a friend, they've gone and done the actual breakup for you.
Well, let's see
how
we go.
How did he take it after that? That was it? Done?
No, then he rang mum.
Oh. 13 10 60 is our number. Give us a call.
1019 The Fox.
See, if you would hope in the perfect world, in the event of a breakup, you actually have that conversation with the person you want to break up with.
You do, but sometimes you're cowardly and you own it. And I have been. And you just want to walk away and not have to deal with it. And you get somebody to do the dumping for you. Anthea from Tullamarine. Hi, Anthea.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, Anthea. Did you decide to not break up with someone and let someone else do it for you?
Well, not at first. I was dating this guy for about 4 months, and then I decided, okay, I'm not really into you. So I went down to his place trying to break up with him, and his parents walked in. So I couldn't break up with him, obviously. So a couple of months after that, I was at uni, and I just got wind that he was there trying to take me out for a coffee, and I was like, what the hell? So I send my friend out of our lecture room to tell him to just leave because I wasn't interested.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. But you waited a couple of months after you were going to break up with him. So were you still with him?
Yeah, but like I kind of wasn't talking to him as much and I was like keeping my distance from him. But yeah, obviously he thought we were still in that relationship. Which, you know, took a break.
You know what? That's the problem. When somebody thinks they're in a relationship and the other doesn't, that's when that all falls apart.
1019, The Fox.
We just heard, Fev, you watched the NBA All-Stars yesterday and you messaged me immediately and said, you've got to check out Chaka Khan. She butchered.
I thought she butchered it, and a lot of people here today think that she didn't, but online, she got hammered as well.
Well, I didn't think she was too bad. But let's have a listen to it again. This is Chaka Khan performing the national anthem.
Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets ran glare.
You know what it is, I reckon, from a musical standpoint? Just because you can do something doesn't mean you
don't do it. And that's a great point because Boxy, I watch a lot of sport and a lot of American sport, and they play the anthem and you get into it and you get butterflies and it's not even our anthem.
It wasn't emotive, it didn't make you feel.
You just sing it.
Well, see, I think it was okay. Now, because I think Chaka did a decent job, I want to put together a list of some of the worst musical performances, particularly with anthems.
Got a list this morning.
We love your list, Fee.
Let me take you back to the last All-Star NBA game in 2018, Fergie. Now, you listen to Chaka Khan then, listen to Fergie.
They'll say, does that star spangled
was was missing her band members.
Fergie forgot that she could sing. Yeah, no. Like, that's really unfortunate. Then Steve Tyler of Aerosmith fame, gave this a crack. This was back in 2012. He was singing the national anthem. All I heard about
the booing.
When the crowd boos, you know you've cooked it.
But then he's gone to his old staple, bam, 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 bam.
There's no saving it there, Stephen.
Now, but that's not it at number one. This is one of my all-time favourites. It's from quite a while ago. I'm going to say the early noughties. Poor Enrique Iglesias. It's not an anthem, Fev. This is just one of the best bits of audio. Unfortunately, while Enrique was performing on stage, his sound engineers were recording him backstage. You know how they've got the earpieces and you've all got the crowd and all the backup singers? This is how Enrique actually sounded.
All I need is a rhythm divine. Lost in the music, your heart will be mine. All I need is to look in your eyes. Viva la musica, say you'll be mine.
Yeah.
That performance wouldn't even win a 250 Nando's voucher for Tradioki. That was awful.
Yeah, Melbourne tradies that can sing better than that.
What was that?
Her lists are great, and she's compiled that very nicely. But I do question your credibility as far as what you hear in your ears. I know that you were at a particular concert, and you described this performance that we're about to play. When you were the entertainment editor of Sunrise, you said, this was the best concert I've ever seen. She wasn't the cash cow.
Well, I know, but don't speak ill of the dead now.
Well, she's passed away.
She's passed on.
She's one of my all-time favourite performers. I was in about I was two rows from her. I could almost touch Whitney at the time.
Yeah, you can't bring this up. It was a bad time.
I'm just saying, don't make it all weird and mention she's passed on.
Yeah, but you can't do that. She was a bad time.
Anyone listening, regardless of whether Whitney is still with us or not, is this the best performance you have ever seen? I've ever seen.
It was the last.
I'll always love you, Whitney. 100%. I'll always love Whitney.
Wow.
What have you done, Byron? 101.9 The Fox. Quick intervention. Fev, as we just witnessed, Byron just got angry about Whitney Houston. I mean, she was sort of on her last legs.
Yeah. Nearly pointed out a performance that you love that wasn't very good.
All show, you've been having cracks at James Lake, our wonderful, esteemed newsreader.
Right.
Something about the weather forecast
trying
today.
To do his job.
Yours. And you know what I want to say to you, Byron?
Enough is enough is enough. You need to stop. I can't put up with this.
Enough's enough. Come on.
Oh, I know this is our segment where people call up if they've had enough of something, 131060, and you're saying enough is enough of me.
Well, not of you. And actually, 131060, don't call up if you've had enough of Byron. That just seems
there'll be a meltdown. They've already melted down. God.
Unnecessary. No, enough. Yeah, enough is enough. This is the segment where you get to say, I've had a gutful. I've had it. A lot of people feel this way often about stories in the news. You know, they've had enough of Megxit. They've had enough of Byron being angry at Whitney Houston.
No, well, in my case, I will say that...
Enough's enough. Come on.
To not only James Lake, but to the Bureau. I think we all rely on their information, right? Every day, what's the weather going to be like? Should I put a jacket on? Should I wear a T-shirt? I think it's fairly simple stuff. Today's forecast, and I don't know if James is around yet, but James is on a phone.
He's on the phone.
Why is he on a phone? Anyway, the forecast, James on a phone when you work here. James, could you please read today's forecast that you presented to everyone? How does anyone plan or make any sense of the forecast? Read it, please.
Yeah, well, the forecast was the chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm. If we had a thunderstorm, it possibly would be severe.
Yes.
Now, I'm actually out on Clarendon Street, South Melbourne at the moment, and I can tell you that I'm getting rained on, so we can cross off the first one and say it definitely happened.
Well, James, I will help you out because normally people just go to their phone and it says at 9 o'clock, 100% chance of rain. Storm
100%.
At 12 o'clock, 100%.
Okay, well, so I'm going with Fev on this one.
Mm.
But what I thank you for ringing
Thanks,
into
James.
The show,
Thanks
James.
Thanks for ringing and for your creativity. Thank
Give
you very
me some
much.
Nando's.
I think he's out getting breakfast.
Get it right.
He's having a coffee.
So, Byron, you've had enough of the weather forecast.
Enough's
you want
enough.
Them to get it right.
Come on.
Poor right. weather presenters. They do it tough. I'm speaking as a former weather presenter.
Enough's enough. Get it right.
131060, this is your chance to just have a vent. What have you had enough of? Maybe you've had enough of your mum. Maybe you've had enough of your bills. Maybe there's
I've had enough of her boss.
131060, man, Mando, if you're listening. 131060, enough is enough. Your call's coming up right after this on The Fox.
1019, The Fox.
Enough is enough is enough. You need to stop. I can't put up with this.
Enough's enough.
If you've had enough, this is the segment for you. 131060 is the number.
Yes, today we've had enough of Byron being frustrated by the weather forecast. So we've put an end to that, but we've got Amanda from Cranbourne.
I've had enough of the weather forecast being so vague.
Amanda in Cranbourne North. Hi, Amanda.
Hello,
Milo. Good, Amanda. Good. We've opened the segment for you to have a good old vent.
Just
what
tee
have you
off.
Had enough of?
I've had enough being a mother.
Oh. Enough's enough.
Didn't expect,
come on.
Didn't expect that.
To a 15-year-old, Amanda, tell us what's happened in the last 24 hours to push you over the edge.
Oh, they just want. The more you give them, the more they just want
take,
everything.
Take.
That's why you got to have strict guidelines in place. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
I work and they just do my head in.
Sorry, man. I want to go back to Fev and his strict guidelines. What are the strict guidelines you have
just
in place
do
for your
what
girls?
You want.
Just be quiet
just
doing
it. Just be quiet doing it.
You let them do anything.
And don't bother Dad when he's playing PlayStation.
Good vent, Amanda. James in Croydon South. Hi, James.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Oh, good, James. What have you had enough of?
I'm just absolutely sick of hearing about this bloody coronavirus.
Right, okay. Well,
enough's enough. Come on.
It's a pretty big deal, James.
I get you. Every time you turn the radio on or go on TV or even on, like, YouTube, there'll be updates of YouTubers, you know, posting about their experience with it or their thoughts. It's just becoming so repetitive and it's negatively impacting the market for Australia in so many different ways. And I just would really like this to be over with, to be honest.
I reckon the people that have got the virus would wish it was over too.
Yeah, they'd be hoping. Yeah.
James, you're eloquent. You've put thought into the argument. I might help James out by saying maybe it's not the coronavirus, but what James is referring to
is
the news cycle, the social media platforms, the media, the press. It's that onslaught.
Right.
I think the coronavirus itself is a very serious issue that needs to be dealt with, but I get what you're saying, James.
Okay, thank you, James.
Everywhere you turn, they ram it down your throat.
Can I help James out a bit there? My favourite story yesterday, James, is when they were all week, well, for the last 2 weeks, all the news outlets have been talking about Christmas Island and how horrible it is and how the detainees would be hating it. When the news guy come out the front yesterday, James, and interviewed this guy, he goes, oh, it's really good. Interviewed the kids. Oh, you're glad to go home? No, I want to stay here. It's really good fun.
James loves
fake
it.
News.
Loved it. Fake news.
Apparently, I think, did Fev mention there's a casino at Christmas Island?
Well, geez.
I don't know how Fev would know that.
I just thought that someone had heard there was a casino there.
A casino anywhere, mate. Get on your app.
Finally, Brad in Altona Meadows. Hi, Brad.
How you going?
Brad, are you fed up? Have you had enough?
Oh, well, talking about the news and social media, I am over people posting about happy Valentine's Day to their partners, saying happy birthday to their partners, wishing each other happy anniversaries when they're probably sitting right next to them. Just say it to them and get over it. I don't want to hear about their fake relationships and their important bloody things that go on.
Brad, there's someone in this team that they have conversations with each other over Instagram.
Enough's enough. Come on.
I think it's lovely.
Actually, sorry. Yeah, Brad, I'm with you. By the way, Valentine's Day went for like 4 days. People were still doing posts. Mm. No, you got that one day. Do your mushy social media stuff and then get off.
Whoa, gee, you guys are so much fun, aren't you? Well, a lot of love in here. All right, we're out of here.
No, we're not done.
We're not done yet.
Oh, no, I reckon we are.
No, we're not.
You go first.
Okay, go first.
No, what we find amusing, Brad, you would hate this. Join the conversation. Is so we've got a Fifi, Fev and Byron page where our wonderful listeners engage with us. But what we've noticed is that Byron and his very attractive girlfriend, who's clearly out of his league. Well, I mean, she's amazing.
I love you, Alex, if you're listening.
But you have conversations.
You talk to each other.
Well, that's what our Insta page.
You're sitting next to each other.
Well, that's what people do. You have a little chat
now, Byron. Then. Stop talking. Brad, what do you think about that?
Byron, get a room.
Power Shop, 100% carbon offset power you can be proud of. 101.